talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on the Exchange Club, Friday, March the 1st, 2024. Joined, as always, by Matt Morgan and Pastor Craig for the Exchange Club. Today's special guest, Carrington Nelson, who will also be along with us tonight for the big Friday Night Live program, 8:15 until 10 p.m. And we will recap all the events in detail because we've still got two to go. We've still got Elgin, and we've still got the big event today over at Kingston, open to the public, 3:30, wine, punch, water, cheese tray. That's where I'm going to be, at the cheese trays. Cheese trays and the veggie trays. I like those.
That's probably where I'll be.
We'll meet each other there.
That's right.
That's right. We'll have a good time.
That's right.
And Mary Ellen will be there. We'll be doing the whole program we've been doing all around, and there are some special things going on over there today, so show up at Kingston. It's free. Doesn't get any better than that. All right. And by the way, go get the Marion Star today. We finally see it now. Matt brought them in, and thanks for setting those aside and getting those. You want to talk about a big picture on the front page. It's not only above the fold, it's below the fold. And the headline reads, Celebrating Life and Career of U.S. Treasurer. And the subtitle is, Mary Ellen Withrow Marks 30th Anniversary of Swearing In. And we thank the Star for covering that. They don't usually cover a radio thing. And by radio thing, I mean we are mentioned in there. So thank the Marion Star. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marion Star.
Thanks, Marion Star.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I'm taking this to Kingston, and I'm taking this to Elgin because I've got a great line now. I'm not going to say what it is.
Save it.
You're just going to have to be there.
Okay.
It's like your wedding night. You don't want to hear about it. You want to be there. It's not that line. It's not that good. I thought that was a good line.
At Kingston.
Yeah, it's at Kingston. Listen, just once in a lifetime, you don't want somebody to tell you what it was like. You want to be there.
Who's getting married at Kingston? What?
Did you understand that? You didn't understand where that all was going? Hey, listen, what do they call that? It's double entendre. That was double entendre humor. So there you go. We got a little double entendre on this show today. Let's do it. By the way, we have a top 10 list for the first time in a few weeks. So we're going to do that here off the top so I don't miss it. All right. It's easy for me to forget in this period. Top 10 category from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Top 10 events of the year 1994. 30 years ago this year.
Carrington.
Yes.
We're focusing on 1994 because that was the year Mary Ellen was sworn in.
Yes. I was going to guess that. Okay. We're on the same page.
Do you know what this top 10 list is all about then?
Yes, top 10 events that happened in 1994.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and number 10 says the television Friends.
Hey! Even through a paper. My, I'm going to have to get a clipboard.
The light's reflecting through the window. I can read it.
You have to put a leash on her.
I know. Nosiest person I've ever seen. My goodness. Top 10 events in 1994. You want to read number 10? I'll give you number 10. Just number 10.
I know. Number 10 resonates with me.
Don't look at number 9.
Number 10. Eyes are glued to 10.
Number 10.
Number 10. The television show Friends debuts. That's my favorite show.
1994.
That's
crazy. Ran for 10 years.
And it's still one of the biggest shows forever.
Probably 2004.
You got it. 10 years. Exactly. Number 9. The first passenger rail service between England and France begins using the newly opened Channel Tunnel. 1994.
Which they called the Channel.
The Channel. Channel.
The Channel.
Channel. Number 8. The PlayStation was launched at the end of 1994. No PlayStation prior to 1994.
PlayStation's good.
Number 7. The number 1 movie is Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction. John Travolta, wasn't it?
Never saw it.
I don't think I saw it either, but it was John Travolta. Number 6. Steven Spielberg won his first directing Oscar for Schindler's List.
Never saw it.
You know, that was a big year for Ohio, though. Schindler's List is Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. I haven't seen either one of those.
Oh, you got to see Shawshank.
I know it's an Ohio-related thing, and I just haven't done it.
It was an Ohio-related.
You got to watch it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Fantastic movie, yeah.
You know, somebody said that with Dirty Dancing, and I finally watched that, and that was no thrill.
You shouldn't have listened to that one.
Holy mackerel, what is this movie about?
Never take movie recommendations from a 12-year-old girl.
This was a 40-something-year-old girl. They loved that movie. Holy mackerel. Number five, an earthquake strikes the San Fernando Valley in California, killing 57 people and becoming one of the costliest earthquakes on record. That's sad. Happened in 94. Number four, Nelson Mandela is elected South Africa's first president and effectively brought apartheid to an end. We all remember that very well.
Some of us.
Who were around in 94. Number three, both Yahoo and Amazon were founded. 30 years.
Amazon is that old?
30 years.
I did not know that.
We had Amazon.
It started off.
It wasn't strong,
books.
But we had it.
What was it in the beginning?
It was Amazon, but it was more of a.
It was just a little creek. It wasn't a huge.
Wasn't the Amazon yet?
Yeah, it was just
right.
It was just a little creek,
as they say in Kentucky. Number two, in June, 95 million viewers watched O.J. Simpson and A.J. Cowlings drive along the Los Angeles freeway in history's first low-speed police chase. What a night that was! It was a Friday night. I'll never forget that. The world stopped. They were having an NBA playoff game. They stopped it. I mean, it was nuts.
And people were glued to their TV to watch this vehicle go down
slow.
The road at 15
The White Bronco. The White Bronco.
Why was he going 15 miles an hour?
It was O.J.
He was evading the police.
Right, but like at 15 miles an hour?
It was O.J. Simpson. He was a celebrity.
No, I know when he killed the girlfriend.
Innocent. Innocent. Not guilty.
Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
But he decided he was going to kill himself because he'd been accused and he had this great life. So he's in the back of the Jeep and saying he's going to kill himself.
Going 15.
Well, of course, the news copters picked this up and it's everywhere at that point.
Okay.
Anyway.
Should have been there.
You had to be there. It was a moment. And the number one event of 1994, Mary Ellen Withrow becomes Treasurer of the United States. Yay. Of course, what else would it be? That was a big year for Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
There you go. That's today's top 10 list. Excited?
Yeah. You know, they say this is about current events, this show, and like, I'm keeping up so far.
That was a top 10 list. What? That wasn't really current events.
I haven't even started
that. We haven't really got into that part of the show yet.
I know, but it's 12:23 and I'm hanging still, so good for me.
You made it through the top 10 list. Give yourself a pat on the back. You've made it through the bones of this show.
Yep.
Yeah, all right.
Now for the real
one. Now it hits, and now here it comes. Longtime Senate majority, now Senate minority leader, Mitch McConnell is stepping down at the end of his term. The longest serving person, I believe, in that position. And Mitch McConnell is interesting to a degree. A lot of people hate him with a passion. A lot of people like him. A lot of people feel he's the reason the Supreme Court is made up the way it is at this particular point. And he's obviously been having some issues with not being able to speak when asked. I don't think he's called them health issues yet. I don't know what they are. By the way, he has not said that he's not going to run again. He's just not going to be in that position. He's not willing to go out that far yet and leave. And interestingly enough, when he made his speech, which I did catch last night, that he's not going to continue, he's 82 years old, and he made it all about age. Coincidence? He even dropped a few lines in there about, you got to know when it's time to go. I'm not the kid who sits in the back. Wonder why he brought that up.
I'm sure there was nothing meant by that.
Not at all.
No, there was not even a veiled message
Look,
in that. No.
Clearly not.
If he runs
that,
again.
That older politician should retire? No, that can't be.
If he runs again after saying that, you know what, I got a clown on him for it. I mean, obviously he hasn't said he's going to run again either, but I don't think so. Especially after he said that, I don't think you can go back out there and say, you know what, we can run again.
I'm on record. Play the tape. I'm on record from months ago when he had his, you know, he had his freezing speech.
He's had a few of those.
Yeah, I'm on record as saying he will not run for re-election.
I believe I was with you there. Yeah.
And Scott,
he hasn't said that yet.
That was your answer back then.
He hasn't.
But I'm telling you,
how long is he going to drag this thing out? He needs to let those people know that he's not running.
He probably thinks the election's in another 2 years.
He probably will. His name will remain on the ballot. He'll win. It's Kentucky.
He's not going to run again.
It's Kentucky.
I don't know.
I just don't see the odds that he runs again as anything substantial, especially now that he's come out and said, you know, I'm 80, so you know.
You think that was the reason he said that?
I mean, no, but I mean, I think now that he said it, you can't just be like, oh, I'll run again.
Oh, yes, you can.
I mean, you just look goofy.
He's not going to.
You can say a lot of things in politics and then say completely opposite thing to the next group and keep on trucking.
I have a feeling he knows some things about his health, or his family has been informed of some things about his health that we don't know. He's not going to run again, I'm telling you. You can mark my word, he's not going
to
run again.
I think for him to let go of power, if that is true, is going to be very hard. I think he's going to, like, Nancy Pelosi is still in office, but she stepped down from her position. She said it's something similar. She didn't take the digs that Mitch McConnell took, but she said, you know, it's time for the
How
next
does
generation.
She?
Well, she's in her 80s.
Really?
She said...
She only runs for 2 years.
Isn't that the politician that Matt would kiss, Nancy Pelosi? Is that...
No.
Okay.
No, who was the one? There was one that you would kiss.
Sarah Palin.
Sorry, my bad. I misspoke.
I still don't understand that, but okay.
See, I don't think that was the... I think the question at the time was if you had to pick a president based off of looks. And I was like, at least if I pick Sarah Palin, at least she's got some experience in politics.
But you consider her to be the best-looking thing out there, huh?
No, but, you know, I mean, I think she's...
How do we get on this topic?
I don't know.
I interjected.
Anyway,
it was me. I'm sorry.
I mean, we're talking about the...
A poor, older gentleman stepping down.
Now we're talking about kissing female politicians.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to kiss the president. Most kissable president. You know, I don't know. I think it's very hard for people like that to drop everything. Like Nancy Pelosi dropped being leader, but she did not leave her House seat. I think he'll leave being the leader, but I think if he does, he's going to have to be very, very, very sick.
Here's the thing. Nancy Pelosi didn't leave her House seat because they get elected every two years. He's looking at, if he runs again, a 6-year term. I don't see him.
You remember Strom Thurmond?
Oh yeah,
I don't think he was aware he was in the.
Oh no, they wheeled his
wheeled
his corpse into the chambers for the last 6 months.
And I think ultimately that will be the Mitch McConnell problem. As easy as it should be for a Republican to win that seat, there's always a possibility when you trot a new person in, and it's all about the votes.
I grant that what you're saying is very easy to imagine as happening, but I don't see it.
He would have to be almost next to the end, I believe, for him to give it up. That man, longest serving person in this position.
He may be closer to the end than we.
And if that, I'm sorry to hear that, but that'll be why he's leaving. It's not just because of these little freeze ups. So there you go. What do you mean, Carrington?
I think that we need like an age out requirement on government. Like you said, he's 82. I'm sorry. Like you're not going to be around to deal with the consequences of your actions. So why are you making the decisions for the people that will be around to
but
deal with the consequences of your actions?
Yes,
but when the options are not.
How do we get
useful,
those options?
I don't know. I don't know a lot. I'm about
well,
it all.
The parties put up the options.
I think they have to have money, don't they? Is that how you get in?
Oh, yeah, on the big offices, certainly.
You have to have money to run and stuff.
But you can hopefully raise that. I mean, that's the idea.
Yeah, there's fundraisers and things.
I don't know. I'm just saying 82 and he's freezing up. Like, know when it's time to go. Like, you're not going to have to deal with any consequences for decisions that you make.
And if you don't know when it's time to go, this is where you got to trust the voters for them to know that it's time for you to go. But you don't want to put age limits on it.
No, and I'm also starting to get, and maybe it's because we're in a presidential year, and maybe it's because we've got the two oldest candidates ever running for president, but I'm starting to get a little tired of...
Sorry, I was
getting
just
nervous when you look around the corner.
No.
I'm getting a little tired of everybody who's over 75 who misspeaks has got an illness. They've got dementia. No! Listen, as you get older, yes, things happen like that. You forget things. You don't say things exactly right anymore. Your energy is not exactly what it used to be. It doesn't mean you have dementia, for God's sake. I mean, I think we need to take a break on that one. Go ahead, caller.
Hi there. I was just calling to see how I can listen to the other half of the Marianne Withrow interview.
Oh, I'll tell you. From yesterday morning?
Yes.
Okay. Just go to the website. WWGH1071.com.
Yeah.
And go under the early show with Scott Spears, and it should be right under there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Where are you listening from? Listening to that interview?
Cyrus.
Oh, Blue Cyrus. Well, good, good. Did you enjoy the first half of the interview?
I did very much, and I plan to go this afternoon to give her speech again.
Oh, at the reception?
Yes.
Well, say hello over there.
Okay, thank you very much for the interview. It's going wonderfully.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go.
You had a perfect opportunity, and you let it go by.
What did I do?
You had a caller from Bucyrus.
I did.
What's the latest with the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival?
I didn't want it to get ugly.
Okay.
I know there's a problem over there in Bucyrus. I don't want to be the person who takes Bucyrus down.
Okay.
I'm already taking Marion government down. I don't want to take Bucyrus government down.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sad state over there. it's just too much.
You want to finish off one city.
I want to make sure we put this one to bed.
One.
Yeah, it's too much work to do two at a time.
Okay.
But that's very cool. I'm telling you, the picking up.
I don't have
headphones. Oh, lady said she was from Bucyrus, and she heard the first part of the Mary Ellen interview from yesterday. She wanted to know how to hear the second part. I told her, and she said, I'm going to be at the thing today at 3:30, and there you go. I'm telling you, folks, and I said it in a, but it, you know, you want to be there today. You really do. This is a part of history. This is a thing today.
I'm just glad I had enough money left to buy a ticket. I'm so happy to buy a ticket.
Oh, they are pricey tickets. Yeah. Pricey. To see this group?
It's almost expensive as Swifty tickets.
Do you know the crowds that we... I mean, we're like up over 2,000 people by the time we go there today.
That's amazing.
This show has been seen by over 2,000 people in the last 2 days. Yeah. We're just trucking... I showed you the picture of River Valley this morning.
Yes, you did.
What was I lying, as they say?
No, you will tell the truth.
I certainly will. We have a lot of Kentucky in this show today. I don't know what's going on. We're very Southern. Can you do a Southern accent?
Howdy, y'all.
I didn't say speak Southern. You got to get the accent going.
It was a good try.
Okay. It was
good try.
Howdy, you all?
Y'all. Y'all.
There you go.
Y'all.
There you go. Matt, you got one?
Howdy, y'all. There
you
go.
I didn't even hear it. It was so fast. Run that by me again. Slow that down about...
Howdy. Y'all.
And that's more to the point of how it's... apparently we got a... There's a story written up on Facebook from River Valley about the event.
Wow.
I'm telling you what, this is as big as you want to get. And that was sent to me by a very nice person.
So, Scott, what are you going to do in March?
It's time for me to... how can I keep topping? I'm starting to wear myself out.
I know. That's why I say, what is there left to do?
I lit the Christmas trees, yeah. Scott Spears Day in December,
right.
The Groundhog Day, National Attention, Miss Ohio, mm-hmm. End of January, early February, this Mary Ellen thing bouncing all around the world, 2,000 people...
What next?
I'm going to die just trying to keep topping everything. I can't do it. You can't keep topping yourself. This is the time to go. If you want to go on top, I need to just...
Maybe you should just retire, Monday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You just want to sit here every morning. You got used to this chair this morning. You just want to take this thing over. No, I don't... This is the good time to go out, though, wouldn't it be? Boy, I get these nice introductions when I go to these places. It's very nice. Yeah, never
quit
hear from me again.
Top.
Never quit while you're ahead. You know, you always want him to say, that's the thing. You always want him to say, why is he leaving? Not, is he still there?
Right. Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
You'd miss me, though, if I was gone, wouldn't you?
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, good. Well, I may stay around a little longer. If I can't come up for anything for March, then it might. I think this is March, though.
Yeah.
So you just got to come up with something for April.
Oh, it's the eclipse. That won't take any trouble at all.
That's true.
We're all going to go outside and stare directly into it and see how many of us go blind.
I have a good story to tell.
Oh, go ahead.
So, while I was doing my What's Happening Marion show, there's three different new things about the eclipse. And you know how much I'm really getting tired of stuff about the eclipse.
Oh, I think we all are.
So I'm suffering through... you know, telling these things. So in the third one, as I was doing it, Matt's phone went off. His alarm went off. And it was because his phone was sitting on the chair. But here's the real problem with that. It's not that Matt left his phone in here during another live show.
The problem was, when you and Carrington were walking out the door, Carrington said, "Oh, Matt left his phone here." And rather than pick the phone up and take it outside so that it wouldn't potentially create a radio disaster, she just made the observation and then walked out the door.
You know, I didn't even know that happened.
So I'm rudely interrupted in my show.
Boy, that's terrible.
With Matt's phone. But it was perfect timing because his alarm went off while I was doing one of the solar eclipse stories.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
So you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Now, coincidentally, did you send the pictures over to River Valley?
I emailed a few other pictures.
Oh, so those are probably your pictures.
Probably.
They could be. Because I don't think anybody from River Valley was down there, were they? I know they came toward the end.
I don't know.
Did you get good pictures?
I think so.
You're not nose hairs or anything.
I mean, I took a lot of pictures. I only sent him like 3 or 4 though, because they were like the 3 or 4 main ones. Like, it had the River Valley staff in it, the poster thing that they made Mary Ellen.
What is this poster thing that we've been talking about?
Let Matt, he's the alum. Okay. Carrington doesn't really like the poster thing.
So it's just like a big, like, something like this kind of, except smaller, but they signed it, like the staff signed it. And
the students,
yeah. And then they also
two FFA members presented it to her.
Yes.
So it's a poster.
I think it was actually the student council president and the FFA president.
I think it was just said Spartans or something like that.
So it's like a poster of the.
But it did say Spartans
of the school.
It's Vikings. Vikings. Said Vikings.
Yeah, it said Vikings had had the signatures, and it said, like, congratulations on your 30th anniversary of becoming treasurer.
Okay.
We can't all be perfect all the time. It was not, don't you think that's nice?
I think that's nice.
Would you want that or a plant?
Yeah, flowers die. Yeah,
there
see?
You go.
The planter box that it came in doesn't die.
Okay, so then you have an empty planter box.
You can buy more plants to put in it.
Oh, so now they give you something that requires work.
Yeah, well, future investment.
It's an option. It's an option. What are you doing with your signed poster hanging it on your wall?
You hang it up and you look at it and say, wow, look at that. You remember that day?
It'll be up there forever.
Let's fight the gifts out.
It'll be up there forever.
That's a big boy decoration. I don't want that on my wall.
What's on your wall? Plants?
Well,
yes, I do have plants.
I'll bet you have a poster of Taylor Swift.
I do not. Nope.
Oh, what kind of Swiftie are you?
I'm not a poster girl. I just hope she doesn't find that out.
What color is your room?
My room is yellow and
disgusting.
Gray.
Disgusting.
Well, I would have said yellow. You know,
if you said
yellow.
It's mostly gray. There's one yellow wall, and then the other other walls are all gray.
Yellow is just awful.
That's my favorite color.
It's a bad color.
That's your opinion.
That is my opinion. I'll give you that one. You can have yellow as your favorite color, but yellow is just a bad color.
Thanks for your permission.
Are we doing a show?
I guess.
Honest to goodness, couldn't we have had this conversation before the show?
I told you I could hang in the current event.
No, I don't think you can. I think proof positive that we're having trouble here with the current event section of the...
Go back to it.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. Okay.
Mitch McConnell.
Didn't we cover that?
But I don't know if we ever finished. He's not going to run
for re-election.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's the bigger thing. Let's talk about presidential immunity. Because the Supreme Court's going to take on this case on the week of April the 22nd. Now, here's the two sides of this. I would guess that if you are a Donald Trump fan, this is probably a good thing for you because this is delaying the case in for election interference. But, and this is just... This is more of a... Here's why this might be a bad thing. I don't... First of all, let me just... We'll take one of those things again, like the Mitch McConnell thing. I don't think there's any way the Supreme Court is going to agree with presidential immunity. And I'll tell you why in a second. But I think they might be doing this as a delay tactic, being favorable to Donald Trump, because he did appoint three of the Supreme Court judges. So I think that could have happened, but I don't think there's any way the Supreme Court is ever going to rule on presidential immunity, because the case that they're ruling on would give the president presidential immunity. That means Joe Biden could throw every Republican in jail and be immune. Any president could do that. That is what this means. And if you want that, okay, but I don't think the Supreme Court is ever going to give the executive office that much power.
Yeah, that really seems to mess up the checks and balances system of government.
And this is the misrepresentation of news, is that news is presenting it. It is about the Trump case. It absolutely is. But Supreme Court rulings don't work like that. It's just not for Donald Trump. It's every president will have presidential immunity. I don't think they do that.
Presidential immunity in what?
Everything. It's blanket.
I think, first of all, I think it's necessary because it's never really been defined what a president has immunity on and what he doesn't have.
Necessary to take the case or necessary for immunity?
I think it's necessary for the issue of immunity, of a president having immunity.
To have it.
Yes. It was necessary to take that case on because it's never been kind of dealt
broken
with before.
Down.
And I agree. I mean, looking at the original case, there was no way that Donald Trump could win this because he was asking for blanket immunity for anything he ever did. There's no way the court's going to rule for that, including the Supreme Court. I think it was for two purposes. One, it was to delay this whole thing till after the election, and two, it was to force the Supreme Court to kind of delineate in what areas he has president has immunity and what areas they do not. And I think that's what's going to come out of it is will he lose? Yes. But I think we'll get a better idea of the areas where the Supreme Court feels a president has immunity and does not have immunity.
I just thought there was some interesting misrepresentation of it. Now, they weren't lying because it is about Donald Trump. The particular case is about Donald Trump, and it is about presidential immunity, but everybody seemed... not everybody, most, seem to leave off the part that what this would do is give every president immunity on everything.
Right.
And, boy, do you really want that?
So Donald Trump asked for a blanket immunity.
That presidents should have immunity because presidents facing consequences would stop prohibit them from doing certain things. That's the idea.
I mean, you can't arrest a president, can you? That's a thing, right?
You can't murder somebody if you're a president.
Well,
you
can't, like, break the law, but, like...
You can't lock up somebody for no reason.
There's already, like, immunity of some sort, kind of, quote-unquote.
President is not total power.
I know, but, like, it's not, like I said, there's not, like, total... But, like, you can't... I could be wrong. I do believe also.
There are statutes
but, like,
on the book where, for instance, the president can't be charged for a crime... You know, in certain things that he does, like declaring war, he can't be charged with murder and things like that. So there's some areas where, yes, he is given immunity from prosecution, criminal prosecution. But he went to court asking for blanket immunity, period.
Which would get rid of an impeachment process, would ever get rid of the amendment which allows you to remove a president, maybe if they've lost their mind. I don't know how you could do any of that because you'd have blanket immunity.
Right. So that's why I say it was for two purposes: to delay the case till after the election, and to get a better idea. I mean, realistically, Donald Trump and his team—they knew going into it that they were presenting a losing argument, but you forced the courts to better define the areas where he has immunity and doesn't.
But isn't the court taking this case for that reason when I think normally they might not take this case makes it seem as if what everybody doesn't want it to be is that the court's political?
I think what happened is, I think the reason the court took this one is because of everything that's happened with Donald Trump. They see the potential for, you know, a president or a former president to be in endless litigation over various things.
But if this is not, what I'm curious, if this is not a unanimous vote, I would like the person to explain how they believe the president, any president, should have blanket immunity. I don't know who it's going to be. I said it hasn't happened yet. But if it's not a blanket, if it's not an absolute
majority,
complete majority,
right?
Who would vote yes for that? I'd like to know why they.
Know.
That's right. But I'd like to know why.
You'll know why.
They'll write a dissenting opinion,
right?
But
and they lay out their reasons for usually pretty well in those dissenting opinions.
But even if it's a close vote, I mean, listen, I think you can defend certain things. I don't know how you defend that. And you don't have to take President Trump on this, that you are giving the office of the President of the United States immunity, that you thought that was the right way to go. I'd love to hear that dissenting opinion.
And what you'll have to do is you'll have to read that dissenting opinion, because one thing we don't ever get from any of the media is, you know, full explanation of the opinions both ways.
That's why, what I'm saying here is if it's not unanimous, because then there is no dissenting opinion. There have been things that have been decided unanimously. I'll be shocked if it's not unanimous. I can't imagine any of them, no matter what they believe, think that that would be a good idea.
I would be extremely surprised if it wasn't unanimous. I agree. I mean, if it was, even if it was an 8-1 vote or a 7-2 vote, I would certainly love to read the rationale on the dissenting opinion.
What do you mean, Carrington?
Yeah, I just, like I said initially, I think it messes up like the checks and balances to give the president an override basically on anything that they do. That doesn't seem fair at all. I don't like it.
No, it's just, it's a weird case to take on.
I mean, I think that it could be looked at probably in, because like I don't know how, I don't know. I think that the court case is now going to put it past the election, which it was already going to be pretty close to the election anyways. So now I think that the final of the court case is going to come out, or the Supreme Court case is obviously going to come out after the election is over. And at that point, it was kind of I don't want to say a moot point, but it just I just don't know why. I just don't see the purpose for it. I mean, I don't think that the president should have immunity. That seems like a poor idea.
I don't know what's going on in general right now. This has been a very weird election cycle so far. It doesn't seem to be as front and center, but it's just people are doing the weirdest things. I don't even know what's going on anymore with half of the people. What about Joe Biden's appearance on Late Night this week? That got a lot of opinion with Seth Meyers. Seems like everybody saw it. He got some lines off. I mean, whether you like him or dislike him, he got some lines off. If he was trying to prove that he wasn't a doddering old man, that certainly didn't hurt him to be able to go on there and do that. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, I have to admit, you said, I think everybody saw it. Well, no, I'm the
one. You haven't seen it?
I'm the one person
who
has not seen it.
I'm with you. I haven't seen it.
Really?
I also haven't seen it.
I knew it happened.
There was no doubt about that one.
I knew it happened.
When I said everyone, I was not putting you in that category.
I didn't think so. So I was like, oh gosh, they haven't seen it either. Okay,
so
great.
I have to reserve comment until I see it.
Well, the two big lines that I think he was able to deliver very good on that was because Seth Meyers brought up, it was a comedy show, obviously, and it wasn't a speech. And Seth Meyers brought up the age, you know, being 81. And he said, who told you that? You know, took it as a joke, and he got a laugh on that. And then when he finally did get serious about the age thing, he said, the other guy's no, I forget the exact word to use, but the other guy's no spring chicken either, and he can't even remember his wife's name. And, of course, that got a laugh. So he was able to deliver some lines without a prompter that I think helped him for the moment in the age issue. And he was able to take a dig at the other guy. And the message, now this is what we're really going to be driving at here, the message that he delivered that night, which I'm sure came out of a think tank somewhere, but will this message work? Yes, I am the oldest candidate, but that's not what this is about. It's about how old are your ideas? And look at this man's ideas, presidential immunity, no Roe versus Wade, blah, 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 blah. That message might work if your age is the issue.
That's true. Is that what angle he's taking?
It seemed to be on that program, seemed to be.
That's true. I like that. That's interesting.
And there have been some terrible campaign slogans in recent years, but that might work.
That's the good way of saying, hey, I've completely changed where I stood at the beginning of my career. Now I've got the opposite opinion on every issue toward the end of my career.
And the interesting thing,
is that what works? I don't know.
That's what I said earlier on in the conversation we had. I think it does, because I think that people like Mitch McConnell and many others say one thing one minute and do another thing the next. And I think everybody knows that the big issue right now is Roe versus Wade. In very Republican Ohio right now, where Donald Trump won with over 50% of the vote, well over 50% of the vote in the last two presidential elections, we went for making abortion legal with no restriction. So, you know, if that's the issue, if that's seen as a... Governor Taft voted for abortion. I mean,
I don't know that abortion is really considered a Republican Democrat issue at this point.
Oh, it
I feel
is.
Like it's, they, I don't know, because like I feel like I mean like they still like try to play it off like that, but like you said, like being in favor of abortion is very much a Democrat thing.
See, that's how people say it, and just in the fairness of life, that's not for abortion. Nobody's pro-abortion.
Well,
the right to do it. The majority of people don't have abortions.
Yes, I'm aware.
Yeah, that's why, you know, who's anti-life? I mean, I don't think anybody's anti-life. I think we all want to live. I think the wording on those things is a little because what you said, pro-abortion, that sounds horrible.
I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing.
Say that they are pro-abortion.
But, yeah, but here's the thing.
Yeah, I don't think Governor Taft, who voted for abortion, would ever counsel somebody to get an abortion. So I don't think he's pro-abortion. I think he's pro-giving women whatever the right they want to do. I think most of the women who voted, I mean, how many people turned out in that election? How many abortions happened in Ohio? It's like 5% of the people who turned out to vote for it. So I don't think that those people are all pro-abortion, or they'd all be getting abortions. They have kids.
I mean, either way,
you could be for something.
In terms of,
but it doesn't mean that you're going to get one. I mean, you could be for it. You could
but
be
I don't
completely
mean,
for it. You could even counsel someone, and you know your circumstances could be different than that person, and you would not feel that you wanted an abortion in that circumstance, but you could counsel someone you feel that in her position she should get one.
But like, let's take another.
Saying that the people who counsel a woman who has a high chance of having a Down syndrome and they counsel her and they tell her she should get an abortion, that's not pro-abortion?
No, that is pro-abortion. But okay. What I'm saying is everybody who voted to give people that right to have an abortion aren't necessarily going to counsel them that way.
Who's arguing that? I just said pro-abortion in terms of like...
Who's pro-abortion?
Well,
because you said Democrat. I don't think all Democrats are pro-abortion.
So let me rephrase then. In terms of pro-life or pro-choice, since that is now how it's phrased. Pro-life, pro-choice.
Well, it's interesting that we're talking about abortion, and the only one who could ever get one in here is the person saying the least. What do you think? Do you think pro-abortion's
have anything to do with it, though, of as far as whether someone can get one or not?
But we've talked about this. Is there any law that women make vote on for men that would have that affect women in no way, but that men are women make the choice for men?
See, this is where the pro-abortion people have won the battle. It's all in how you phrase it and word it and how you present it, because this isn't about a choice that a woman can have that a man can't have. This is about the killing of a human being. Because that's what abortion is. It's the murder of an innocent human life, period. Now, the issue has been disguised as all other things. You know, it's a woman's choice. It's her body. It's reproductive rights, and on and on and on. But the bottom line is the issue is taking a life. It doesn't matter if you can have one or you can't have one, if you're male or if you're female. That is a moral issue that everybody can weigh in on, because it affects everybody.
I agree it's a moral issue, and I'm not saying a man can't have an opinion on it. The problem, from the Constitution's point of view, all people have to be treated equally under the law, right. And that is not legal. That because a man can never have an abortion.
Well, that's no.
But I mean, could a man ever be a...
No, that's not what the Constitution, what the laws have to be. The law doesn't have to be everybody can be treated under the law. The law is supposed to be so that it doesn't discriminate or treat anyone unfairly. It should be equally applied. But just because you have a law that deals with something that only a woman can have, that doesn't make it not something you can have a law, because many women who get abortions are forced by their boyfriends. So, you know,
but they don't arrest the boyfriend. Herein lies the problem. But they don't.
They should.
But that's never been put on the ballot.
I agree
with you on that. I think that's right. You know, if you force somebody into it,
You should be liable.
But this is where the thing has always gotten confusing. Do you arrest the doctor who actually does it? Do you arrest the woman who actually has it? Do you arrest the man who's forcing her to do it? I mean, there's never been any framework for any of that. I think there might be some change in this if there was some framework.
I mean, I think in theory, if we were talking about in terms of it being illegal, I think you should arrest everybody involved. That's how it works.
But that's not what it reads. That's not what we voted on.
Well, what we voted on was a law that made it legal. So
right.
If it makes it legal, nobody should be arrested for anything because it's legal.
Right, but there, if it had been voted illegal under that law, reading it, it really would have only affected women who were having abortions. There was no process in there about arresting the doctor who did it. Again, the doctor didn't even come in play because you're not doing it anymore. So that's why
that's a problem.
There's the problem.
That's a problem.
Herein lies the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got other parties that were involved in it.
Yeah. And that is the problem.
Yeah.
And I think if people really wanted to have the conversation about abortion at the voting booth, make it more specific.
Right.
Yeah. Carrington, what do you think?
I guess I've never thought about the sense the boyfriend and the doctor being responsible, because it never is like an issue that's discussed. It's always like the woman who gets, whatever punishments come about it. So my opinion is always like it's a woman's choice. And I guess as a previous fetus, if I would have been aborted or something, I wouldn't have known the difference. So I don't feel as upset about right to life, I guess.
You know, from the bigger perspective here, why is this such a hot issue? Because honestly, as far as I know, and I mean, I guess you never really do know, nobody in this room has ever had an abortion or pushed somebody into an abortion.
Well, I thought you were going to say nobody in this room has ever gotten worked up as Pastor Craig just
said. No. I like that. I think that's what we're here for. But isn't it interesting that this issue, now everything else almost that we talk about could affect us. Old age is going to affect us all one day. Dementia is going to affect us all. We're already, hey, listen, I've mispronounced some things recently. I've said names. I called Mary Ellen the governor the last time she was in here. So it affects us all. That affects us. The presidential immunity certainly would affect us all. That's something that can roll downhill. Abortion in this room, really not huge effect on any of these people, but it is the hottest issue. But also, in general, affects the fewest people. It's like under 5% of the country. Why is it always the one that is like, wow, we got to go?
It doesn't, it affects more people than just the woman that has.
That's, I agree with that 100%. Families and absolutely, no doubt about that. I just think it's always interesting, because I always wonder when elections comes up, why do we have to know the candidate's stance on abortion? Because it's one of those things that affects so few people directly. But we don't know their platforms. You will know what candidate is pro-abortion and who is not, but you will not know their foreign policy. You won't know how they stand on infrastructure. You won't remember it if you hear it, but you will know about abortion.
I don't know how we can still... I mean, I think, like I was trying to say earlier, I think they still try to play the pro-life, pro-choice argument as a political thing. But, in Marion, where everybody in the government besides Sherrod Brown is a Republican, we overwhelmingly voted in support of abortion.
See, I don't know if the phrasing, I don't know. It's just the phrasing of that is just weird to me.
Okay, either way.
And I'm not telling you how I went either way on that, but honest to goodness, the phrasing just sounds wrong to me. It sounds like if you're for capital punishment, you're pro-death. I don't think that that's right.
I just don't understand the
wording of what you're saying.
I have problems with the labels pro-choice and pro-life, period, to begin with.
I'm confused on what you're confused about. Is it just because I used the term pro-abortion again?
Yeah, because I don't know that anybody would call themselves pro-abortion.
So once again, let me rephrase here. In the term of pro-life versus the pro-choice argument, I don't know why they still try to argue it as a Republican versus a Democrat issue when we, being Ohio, are very Republican at this point, and we voted overwhelmingly in favor of pro-choice.
Okay, but when you say pro-abortion, as we wrap this little quaint show up today.
I didn't say pro-abortion this time.
But you did. When you did, it's the same thing as there are a lot of people for capital punishment. You murder somebody, you need to be murdered.
Pro-abortion
but I don't think that means you're...
Poor abortion is synonymous.
Let me run out of time. That you're going to kill some, that you think murder's okay. That's not what you're saying. No. Like, you're pro-death. I'm pro-death. I'm for capital punishment.
Pro-abortion as in...
Do you understand what I'm saying, Pastor? Does it make any sense at this point?
Pro-abortion synonymous with pro, pro-choice.
No, I don't... That's the problem I'm having with it.
No, but the choice doesn't mean that you want people to get abortions. It means you want women to have rights.
But, I mean, so...
Well, that's a whole nother... That's a wording issue, too, and I under...
That's
but
what
I,
it goes down.
That's all, right. It's all wording here, and that's the problem. I don't know if you're against woman's choice if you vote against it. It's a touchy subject, as people can see, but I don't think anybody is pro-abortion, and very few, and I don't think people who voted yes are pro-abortion, and I don't think people are ever pro-death. I think... that they voted for women to have the right to choose. And I don't think they were against women's rights. I think they did not want fetuses to be aborted. I think we have to get specific about what we're saying here, and maybe this is the problem. Pastor, any final words on this one?
Stay tuned for my next show.
Oh, news that you wouldn't hear on this show.
That's right.
Continuing the conversation.
Actually, I have a couple guests.
Oh, good.
And so
good.
We'll be on a totally different subject. Good. But yeah, the conversation continues.
But you know what? We might continue this conversation next week because it's a fascinating one to have. It really is because it's a topic that's going to be with us for a long time. There's no doubt about it. Carrington, any final words here? You handled yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I kept up, so I'm happy with how it went.
Matt,
you know,
quick final word.
I think you know, it went well as always. The 12 o'clock show is probably my favorite show that we do every week.
There you go. But tune in tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m., because we're going to wrap up the festivities from the last 2 days. And two more events come out today. We're all going to be there and say hello.
And tonight is Matt's second favorite show.
Second favorite show. That's exactly right. Listen, pro-abortion, pro-death, you don't know what you're saying today. We're done with this show. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Oh, Lord.
That was good.
CRT Mechanicals. Address... 2842 Marion Waldo Road, telephone number 740-225-4495.